one rolling. This is Terry Brown. It's Monday night. It's the 23rd of August, 2010. And you have reached the Wind Show. I'm not even sure what the name of the show is. The Monday night show. We were billed to have Carla on tonight, Carla Rucker. However, at this point, we were still unable to reach her, so she may be on or may not. And if she isn't, then we will extemporaneously figure out how to progress the show. Wynn should be on in just a minute as he is changing headsets. For some reason, the one headset is a little blurry, so he had to change to another wireless headset. What we've been doing on the Monday night call, we have two lines. We have the BBS radio line, the internet radio, which the majority of people listen to. And we also have a conference line where individuals can call in. And on the line, then they can ask questions. However, people can also call into BBS Radio to ask questions. So Wynn should be on in just a minute. He's also corralling the conference line. This is Terry Brown, and I sometimes do channeling on the Monday night calls. There, now we're getting the conference line. Wynn, are you there?
Thank you. Everybody, this is Winfrey. This is our Monday night conference call. You're hearing, I better turn the tape recorder on. We can get all this stuff. Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
One second.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Now, I'm going to officially announce it. This is Winfrey. This is our Monday night conference call. And would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, this is Jean from South Dakota.
Hi, Jean.
Hello.
Hi,
Edna.
And hi, Edna.
Gina and Regina.
We have
Gina.
Oh,
I like that.
The three G's, right? We could market that as broadband internet, right?
That's right.
Oh yeah, that's right. 3G. Uh huh.
Right. That's right. We have a bunch of people listening here on BBS Radio, and for, if you happen to be listening for the first time, we're multiplexed into a conference line, and simultaneously on BBS, and we have an unusual situation tonight, and that is Carla hasn't shown up. We had an email exchange earlier, and she was going to be here.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
So we just muted everybody. Carla said she was going to be here, and she's not here. Which is not like her, so I hope she's okay. And we had a very important topic, and I don't even want to begin to tackle this topic by myself. It's important and it's controversial. It's called first contact, and there's a lot of people talking about first contact, that they're expecting aliens to land or aliens to start talking to us, and that we should be communicating with them. Now, it's a matter of history, not overt history, but hidden history, but it's on the Internet. And if you look on the Internet and do a search, you'll find pictures of aliens. You'll find pictures of what's called grays. You'll find a lot of information about Roswell. And Roswell, of course, was a base in New Mexico, and that in the 40s, there's supposed to be a crashed UFO that landed in Roswell, that they actually had I don't know if it was a survivor or a dead body, but there's pictures all over the Internet about this. And you can do a search, Roswell, E.T., E.T. U.S., because there's a lot of background information that at some point I was fairly researching, because I wanted to I had some of my own experiences indicative that there was such a thing as UFOs and ETs, and I wanted to figure it out. I have to know to the best of my ability what's positive and negative to do what I'm doing. And so I've spent quite a bit of research time on this, and anyone who's come to any of my workshops in particular knows that I've done that, because it's a great responsibility to do what we're doing into the world. And it's controversial, because as you who have been listening to our calls, sending the emails, observing what we're doing, there's somebody. I think I'm going to mute that tone, but I'll give this last person who's coming in late a chance to say hello. Would you like to say your name? No, they don't. Okay, that's fine.
You didn't set that up really good.
I made them feel really bad, didn't I?
Right. Okay. You didn't want to give their name. Oh, the line's muted?
No, it's not. The line's not muted. Would you like to say your name and your city? No, I didn't make that person feel bad. And that's okay.
No.
You know what? When new people come on the line, you know, one of the things that happens, and I really don't know how to make this not happen, although when we have 500 people come in on the line at once who are new, I will make it happen. I will do this. But one of the things that happens is those of us that have been checking in on the line for months and months end up getting a familiarity with each other, a human-type familiarity. And to somebody that's just checking in, it can look like a click. It looks like there's a, you know, well, we've been getting to know each other for a long time. And so it's a little, it can be intimidating. So if I was having a huge amount of new people, I wouldn't move into the energy of the familiarity. I would stay more, how can I say it, more detached, because I don't want people to feel excluded. And if you are a new person that's listening, please don't be misled by the familiarity, because it's not meant to do that. It's just we've been on the line for a long time, and somebody new that comes into this line is very special. And very special, how would I say it, something you're being exposed to that is not very common in this realm to find. And the thing about it is I don't want you to believe anything, but I want to encourage you to be curious about what I do, work I do. And you'll learn more about it on this call. But if you've come in to learn about first contact, which is how we enhance this, Carla Ruckert, for whatever reason, is not here today. And we had an email exchange earlier in the afternoon, and she was supposed to be here, so I hope she's okay. I hope she doesn't have a health issue. I hope she just forgot it. But she's usually extremely responsible about these kinds of commitments. So we didn't announce the topic, and I told Terry she didn't have to channel tonight, and so I'm not going to have her channel. So I'm going to have to find something to talk about to keep you guys interested without doing a channeling, which I think is a really good exercise for me, because one of the things that happens when you get the idea that there really are sources who are, shall we say, exalted, I don't know, that's not the right word. Shall we say, hang on.
Okay. All callers are muted.
Sources, once you get the idea that we live in a whole... Well, let me see here. Would you like to say the name of your city? Okay.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
Now I'm not going to know when somebody comes in. For you who are listening, when you hear that tone that goes bing, it's an indication that somebody just came into our conference call. So I will repeat again that Carla Ruckert's not here yet. She may be yet, but for some reason she wasn't available at 6 o'clock. So the show that we were going to do tonight on First Contact, we're deferring maybe until next week, although she may still show up. We'll see. So we were talking about the hologram of the universe. And, you know, there is this totally repetitive theme in the working of the Ra channelings. Now, I better give a slight bit of background, because when I start talking about Ra, Elohim, there's going to be certain people that never heard those words or not sure what they mean. So for the past 10 years, I have been in the middle of the experience of communications with voices that have been communicating, talking to me through personal relationships. And in most cases, it's been a dialogue where I've been asked or I've been invited to ask questions. And I could ask questions about anything I wanted. And I started out asking questions about the book I was writing, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And that book makes a case for a young man who looks like Edgar Cayce to be his current incarnation. And there's an explanation in the book for the shift the planet is going through and its real significance. And there is an introduction in the book to a intelligence. I call it an intelligence. I don't know what other word to use, so I've been calling it an intelligence that explains itself to be a group entity, an entity made up of millions of individual entities who have graduated, gotten off the wheel of reincarnation from this realm, and after further evolution, now act as a helper and a guide for those of us who are still going through reincarnation, and that they have been involved many times in the history of mankind in the creation of religions and spiritual movements and mystery schools Egyptian mystery schools, the building of the pyramids. And there was a whole extremely interesting point of view of what it means to evolve spiritually. And this is actually the first time in writing that book, the first time I had ever been exposed to that point of view. And I wasn't believing it at first. And then I had a personal relationship spontaneously start to channel. And the voice that came through then said they were the Elohim group. And the Elohim group explained themselves to be also a group energy, but a group energy that, for the most part, had not taken physical bodies and had not gone through this realm and existed outside of time and invited me to ask some questions. So I've had the opportunity to ask a multitude of questions. And the idea that the universe is a vast hologram is a persistent theme. And that hologram is all made up of the same energies. And in addition to physical space, the hologram has timelines, and it's an expansion from nothingness or from zero point through multiple timelines, and we on Earth are apparently one of the slower, if not the slowest, I didn't ask this, but densest of the realms. And as you go up, it gets thinner and thinner. And as it gets thinner, it gets much more mutable. And where you are now is at the bottom of all these timelines. And although your physical body is trapped here, it's trapped. I mean, it's like, what are you going to do? You have to be here until you leave this realm, and unless you do suicide. So if you're having a great time, it doesn't feel like you're trapped. But if you're not, it feels like you're trapped. And there's not much you can do about it except figure out how to have a better time or leave this realm. Now, for many people, a better time would be, well, let's go have fun. Let's go have a new girlfriend. Let's go have a vacation. If you have the resources to do that, it's great. But unfortunately, the majority of people on this planet don't have those options. So they're going through, how do I make ends meet? I don't feel worthy. I don't feel loved. I feel sad every day. There's not enough food. Of course, you know, now all of these beings in this realm are connected to the oneness. But most of them don't experience it. And once you get connected to the oneness, you have a lot more options. First of all, you can get connected to energies that can make you feel very loved and cared for that are not in physical bodies. And so one of the great things about being loved and cared for by an energy or an intelligence that's not in a physical body is that it never leaves you. You may leave it, but it doesn't leave you. it's always available. It has that ability. And so I can only imagine how this works, but you have these group souls, and there's millions and millions of these group souls, and they can act as a conglomerate, and they can also act separately. They can move in and out of separateness or togetherness. But when they act separately, I don't think they lose connection with all the other beings in that group soul. They still have the connection. Not like on our planet, where it's so easy to lose connections with each other and with the higher realms. So, in imagining how they work, when somebody makes connection with the group energy, when somebody makes connection with the group energy of that particular group soul, then they can feel your energy. And then I'm sure it works this way. There's indications in the material we've done. They can assign people, or however, I don't know if they assign or people volunteer, or, and they're not people, but entities volunteer, consciousnesses volunteer to say, I'm going to work with so-and-so. And now you have an energy in another dimension paying attention to you. Now, you can't see that energy, but suddenly you start getting little messages, or you feel something start to heal, or you feel less lonely, like you feel connected, even though there's nothing in the world that's shifted. Some people start getting dream messages. And particularly, if you want to have a connection like this, if you start doing something that's directly related to service, to helping and uplifting other people, you're now actually fulfilling their agenda. Remember, they exist. One of the reasons they exist is to give support to those people that are still stuck in this realm. So how do they give support? How can they give support? They're in another dimension. Well, one of the things we've learned on this line is they have the ability to project energy that we can feel. And we can feel the connection. And many people on this line have felt that. And some of them have seen colors in their rooms. There's been pictures of me with colors around them. And the other way to give support is to work with people on a very individual level. Like when you go to sleep, you can go to school. Some people report being mystery, they call it mystery schools or dream schools, but you can be worked with in other levels, and it feels like dreams, but there's actually intelligence working with you. And so, and of course, another way they can work with people is through people who are channels who can directly get their voices and turn them into words, like Terry. And that we do this 3 times a week, and you can listen to them. So their criteria is that you have to ask. There's no way for them to impose themselves on you. And the other criteria is that you have to have been able to lift your vibration above the denseness of this vibration so that you can be sound. Now, that last thing I said, let me say, I'm not sure completely that I verbalized that correctly. It just seems to work that way, that when we do these group calls and we create a group energy amongst everybody, people can feel the shift. They can feel what it's like to feel connected. Some of you who are listening right now are noticing and feeling that even though I'm speaking, there's more going on than just me. Some of you feel it. There's an energy around this. They don't have to be channeling through Terry to come in and be present with us. And I have learned over the period of the channelings to feel, not only to feel their energy, but to hold it in my space so that you can feel it. And when you start feeling that, and as many of you have learned, and I'm learning from you because I'm learning how to do this, as many of you have learned, if you hold the energy, you start holding it not just on these calls, but in your life in general, and patterns start disappearing. Problems start going away. How does this work? It's because you are linking up with this incredible support system in other dimensions that has longed to make this kind of connection with people, because if you recall, at the beginning of this talk, I talked about the law of one, that the whole universe was one energy. So what's happening is you're connecting with those energies that are also you, that you've lost for many, many, many lifetimes, and reintegrating them back as part of your experience in your physical body. And that's a very simplified view of how it all works. And it's something that, it's not something to believe. It's something to vision. If you're not having that experience, and you look at, and you're on this call, you'd have to ask yourself, could I have that experience? Do I want that experience? Is it positive? Anyone is duping me, because we don't collect much money for what we do. So I'm not doing this for money. I mean, we could make a lot of money someday, and that's okay, but it's going to be because we influenced a lot of people and not because we designed it to make money. But you'd have to say, what's the agenda? What is the agenda? What are the source's agenda? Well, our sources don't have bodies. They don't need money. And they don't exert any control patterns that I have experienced. What do I mean by a control pattern? It means that they don't force anybody to do anything. They don't even say, worship us. They say, we want to be your energetic friends. And that's something that is probably a new way of expressing them in history, and we're doing it here, and some of you are learning how to do it. Can you feel those energies? The energies are all in between my words. As I say these things, what I have learned over a lot of trial and error is that they're paying close attention to me, because they like it when somebody introduces them, because it gives other people the opportunity to connect. And if I have it correct that they're here to be a helper and guide for the people on our planet who are stuck in cycles of reincarnation, then they're very happy to have someone down here talk about them. And then they pay a lot of attention to that person because they don't want it to be, they want to become present and say, can you guys feel us? That's us. That's how we get to know they're there. Now, remember, I was a physics major. I'm very skeptical. So if I'm going to take the skeptic's point of view, I know people will think, oh, Wynn is suggesting it, and everybody's feeling it because he's suggesting it. Well, you can keep watching and see if that's true. You can read my history and say, look at the people that have had miraculous transformations as a result of being here, things that couldn't happen. You have to watch it for a while. You make a quick snap decision about it, you may be losing a huge opportunity to participate in a giant leap of evolution for your own self. So be skeptical, but pay attention for a while. And then if it doesn't work, if it sounds like a bunch of bull, go somewhere else. But that's exactly how I approached it. And even though they've been talking to me, it didn't mean I believed them. You know, my own personal feeling is that those sources that communicate, that call themselves by some hierarchical name, are coming from a lower realm, like ascended masters, whatever. And that doesn't mean they don't have a tremendous amount to share, because on Earth, people can be such lugheads that it's really good to hear a higher source that has wisdom. But it's not the same as what we're doing, which is creating an energy link between the higher realms and the physical, so that you have the ability, the opportunity, to directly feel loved by an energy in another dimension. Isn't that an awesome experience? Now, Carla, are you in the background? Terry, are you in the background?
Yeah, I'm
Hello,
in the background.
Terry?
I'm here. Yeah.
You're here?
I'm here. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm hogging all the space here because I wasn't going to do a channeling. And, you know, normally on Monday nights and Wednesday nights and Sundays, we have live channelings where these guys talk to us. We have conversations with them. And if you haven't listened, I encourage you to do so. Because if we're doing this, if that's what's actually happening, it's incredible and rare. But you have to be interested enough to at least check it out and evaluate it. And read my books and buy my books and read everything on Message a Day and sign up for the Spirit Channel and go for it for a couple of months. And if it doesn't work, if you say this is a bunch of BS, then at least you gave it your best shot. Because there's something going on here. It's not linear. I can't put it into words. I try the best I can. But it's not about believing in something. It's about expanding your field into the incredible scope of the universe and participating in the experience, the direct experience of the law of one, not as something to repeat to other people, like the universe is oneness, but to live the law of one. Now, to do that, you've got to get over your patterns. You've got to get over your monkey mind. You've got to get over your fear. You've got to get over your skepticism. And you've got to move into a state of neutrality, where you're just neutral. Because when you're neutral, anything can happen. But when you have an agenda, when you have rigidity, then these energies can't get through your rigidness. Like if you're very opinionated, or if you're very judgmental, or if you have strong belief systems, if you're very religious and you're sure your religion is right, those things all create crystallizations. I wonder, in the readings, we used to call them calcifications, where the space around you is rigid. And if you're rigid, the energies are impeded. You can't be in a flow. It's like putting a dam up and then saying, I want an experience. I want to feel it. But see if you can get by my dam. And dams are designed to block things, to separate things. And that dam will keep you from the experience. But fear will keep you from taking the dam down. Because when you take the dam down, it's unknown what will happen. You don't know. Well, that's why it's good to read the experiences of other people. My experience. There are many people who have learned to get into this flow and feel the energies of the expanded realms. Yogananda was one who I read when I was younger, who made a big, huge influence on me. And you don't have to be in these conversations with the Elohim to let your dam down. In fact, you can keep listening and never let your dam down. But you can listen to it on an intellectual level, and you can miss the energy of it. So, Terry, without channeling, you want to make any comments? I'm hogging all the talking. Are you muted? Hello, Terry.
Yes, I was muted. Well, for me, it's an extraordinary experience to have contact with the Elohim and the Ra group, and to ask questions of them, and then to see what the answers are, and to have new concepts coming in. It's a very beautiful and life-expanding experience, and I didn't jump at it right away. Like when it started coming in, I didn't know I had to distinguish the frequency, and I had to make sure that what was coming through was positive, and I had to test it out for a year or two right at the start. And then once I got it tested out, and like sometimes they would say words that I have no idea what the meaning is, and then they'd say go look it up and it would be a real word. And we went through this dance for quite a while before I felt confident. And eventually I learned enough about them through answering questions. And I think that also they've grown by the experience. I'll never forget the one time when we were asking questions of the Elohim group, and the Elohim group was answering, and then we stopped and we were asking questions of the Law group, and the Law group was answering, and Wynn was asking questions of the Law group about the Elohim group, and then the Elohim group came in and said, no, that's not exactly right, and they gave their viewpoint, and eventually, by them both making comments, eventually they decided to make a merger for the purpose of coming through with a broader frequency and bringing information over a broader range that individuals could find an easier time to tap into. I'll turn it back over to Wynn.
Thank you. Now, you know, when we say those things happened, I can't prove that happened. You guys are tracking this. So you have to just follow along and study more to see, is that possible? Because that's an extraordinary thing if it's what's happening, and they say it's what's happening. I remember the very first time I got the idea of the Elohim and the energy that they could project in the space. And I was with Terry, and I was like, it was like, how can I say this? I'm sitting there, what question do I want to ask? I'm asking questions, and some of you have read the material. So what happens when you die? How does prayer work? All these different things. And it's just kind of a loose dialogue. And it was very hard for me to say, am I really talking to the same energy that created this realm? This is not how I would expect it to be. And so I asked them, I said, so can you project an orb into the room? Do you guys know what an orb is? Some people catch these little colored balls on color, on film. And supposedly at another time we asked a question that orbs were interdimensional entities. That's how they look when they project their consciousness into this realm. And so the Elohim answered, and they said, well, we already have an orb, but it's as big as the sky, and it goes down into the earth. Every time you communicate with us, we're projecting like that. And I said to myself, I think I can feel that. And those of you that come into our Sunday call, we do it. Now, they're not just doing it with me. They're doing it with everyone on the line that can feel the energies. So that was the very first time that I considered that idea. And it's been experimental and onward and upward since then. And now you all are participating in that as we do this. You're starting to have that experience. Now, maybe I should do a little, since I have no agenda of any topic or anything to control me now, you know, we have this Egyptian connection special going on, and the interesting thing that I have learned is that why this ended up happening for me, which is obviously not a normal experience, and at the time it started, I felt like my life was finished. I said, what am I going to do with my life? I'm selling things in street fairs. This is not what I was here to do. And suddenly, not suddenly, but over a period of years, it started with my reading with David Wilcock. I had a reading with David. And at the time of that reading, I was considering whether I wanted to write the book about David or not. I was considering whether I could trust it and what it, the significance of it. And at the time, David was doing readings. And I said, I have to get a reading and see how it resonates. And I was in a very frustrated place in my life. My life was falling apart. I was almost homeless, living in my RV. And I was driving around and selling things, different swap meets. And they did this reading. And they took a look at me at a very deep level. And it was really accurate. It wasn't a psychic reading. It was like a soul reading. And then they said, you have unplayed coins in the jukebox of your soul. I'll never forget that. And I said to myself, what does that mean? And so I guess I put a couple of those coins in, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now. But I think that's true for all of us. We all have unplayed coins. And one of the unplayed coins had to do with some of my past lives, which started to reveal themselves. Never, ever did our sources come out and say, you were such and such a person. Never. They did it with Terry, and they did it because she's so shy. And I asked them once, was Terry ever anybody famous? And they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena. And, of course, many of you know the story. Terry is the spitting image of St. Catherine. And St. Catherine was a channel who would go into a monastery in Siena, Italy, and she would, whatever she said, they would write down because they thought God was speaking through her. And St. Catherine's Dialogues with God is still available on Amazon, and it's available as a free PDF. If you look that up on the Internet, Google it, you'll find it. It's beyond copyright, so you can download it. And so it came out that I was this Egyptian pharaoh. Not because they told me, but there were all these, what they did was they would lay out little crumbs, and I would follow the crumbs and follow the clues, and it kept leading somewhere. And I said, this can't be true. And I kept pursuing it, and it had to be true. The story of this is in The Egyptian Connection. And it tells all the things I went through and the way they threw out crumbs to prove it to me. And I started to understand how they have worked with different people throughout the ages, attempting to bring these energies into this realm. And the goal was not to create a belief system, but to experience the energy of the higher realms. And in most cases, it ended up, started out with the energy and ended up as a belief system. And the belief system didn't carry the energy. It just says, I believe this, my religion is right, this is the right way, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a this. No, they're just paths, they're not the energy. And so it's been very difficult to create the energy, so that the energy is what evolves us. It activates our DNA. Well, the Egyptian Connection talks about what happened in Egypt. The case is made that Daphne was Nefertiti, and this Egyptian pharaoh was able to channel, or not channel, but to get what was going on because of his wife's channeling. And he started, everyone has to figure out how to do this in their own way. So his way of doing it was to outlaw all other forms of worship, which was not a good choice, and say, my way is the only way because this is the one true God. And eventually he got into disrepute, and when he died, they took all his work down and put up all the statues of the polytheistic gods again. And you can look up, it's very fascinating. Look it up on the internet. But when I met Daphne, it triggered back to the experience of that lifetime. And I started to get the cellular resonance. It probably took me a couple years of study. So the Egyptian connection, egypt.messageaday.net. I'm going to do a workshop on it. It's a four-hour workshop, which is on audio. And then I'm going to do a live workshop Saturday where I'm going to talk more about it. And who knows, maybe Daphne will be there. I don't know. I'll mention it. She probably won't, because she's very timid of public things. But I hope this is a rare opportunity to actually learn the MO of the higher realms and convince your mind that we're doing this. So we're over the time limit, 6:51. Thank you all for being here. Thank everyone who's on our conference line. Thank everyone who's doing transcriptions and helping do the mailings of Message a Day. We're getting more people, and the only way we're doing this is through donations and volunteers. So my gratitude, and do you want to say anything, Terry, before we sign off? You're muted.
I want to thank everybody for joining us today. It wouldn't be anything unless people joined us. Thank you.
So we'll see some of you Wednesday. If you're not on our Message a Day list, go to messageaday.net and sign up, and you'll get notices of all our calls and messages from the Root Souls in your inbox. And many people are having great, great cognitions as a result of participating in messageaday.net. And thank you, BBS, and Seth, and Don, and we'll see some of you on Wednesday and Sunday. And over and out.
Callers are unmuted.
Thank you.
There are 1 moderator and 10 participants on the call.